Looking for work? Better pay? Better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit suedistracteddriver.com.
Back on Fast Break Friday. Thanks for being with us. Paul Rogers, Bob Valvano. You know, I'm not doing it because it's UK. Well, everything's got to be filtered through UVA versus UK. But what is the purpose of playing in Europe? I'm wondering. I mean, like in the NBA or the NFL, it's obvious. They literally make millions of dollars from merchandising in those countries. I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, they'll make some money at the gate, but that's going to be negligible. I mean, they make the same thing in gate admissions if they played here in the United States. But they go there because it's you know, the market for NFL merchandise in Europe is huge. I mean, going back 35 years ago, when I was in Sweden, I'd see a bunch of kids walking around with Chicago Bears stuff and things like that. Now it's even greater, so I get that. But is that really worth it? I mean, is that what this is about? They're going to sell merchandise there? I'm trying to, you know, lick the sprinkles off the donut again. But what's the motive of it, do you think?
It's a three-game series, home and home and neutral site. And what's more natural than London?
Yeah, it's pretty damn neutral. I'll grant you that.
I don't know the long-term benefit of that. I'm with you. That's kind of mysterious to me.
Other than it's, again, their brand, you know, that look at us, we play in Europe, and, you know, nobody else would do that. And there's some merit to that. I get that. But I just, it just seems very strange to me from a business point of view. Like, to some degree, I get the games. I'm not even sure I totally get the games. Like, you know, whenever they want to play a name brand team, they go play them somewhere exotic like Las Vegas or New York or something. But I get that. That's made for TV events, and the fans like that. They get these trips to some, you know, exotic kind of places, and it helps recruiting and all those things. But I'm still not quite sure I get the Europe thing. Has anybody ever heard? Send us a text. If anybody asked Cal about that, Cal, why are you playing there? You know, I'd like to hear what he has to say about that.
I had completely forgotten about it. last Saturday before the UK UofL football game, Tom Leach and I were talking, and he kind of off the cuff mentioned something about heading to London this week, and I went, huh? And they went, oh, yeah, you're playing a game over there. I'd completely forgotten about it.
Yeah, I guess because they postponed it, right? It was supposed to be played.
Was it last year originally?
I don't remember. I think it was last year. But anyway, I know they had to postpone it. It's hard keeping track. You think keeping track of players is hard? Keeping track of why games were played or canceled or how they got scheduled is probably as hard as anything going on right now. But, it was definitely on the schedule and then got bumped off. So I don't know. I'm sure they're doing it. I'm not mocking it. I'm literally asking the question what the motivation was behind doing it, because it's got to be not an easy logistical thing. I mean, you got, even though we hate to think of them as students, they are still students, and so there's ramifications for classes and you don't just go. You know, you have to laugh now about how many people go for a 10-man basketball team. You bring in groups of 50, and you got lodging, and you got passports, and you got international stuff, and all the logistics of all that. Not to mention, you know, the broadcast that I mean, you've got to go make sure that they're set up to handle a broadcast, because obviously your advertisers want to be part of that. So I mean, there's a whole bunch of moving parts to this. Not a simple thing to do. So it's got to be a reason to go through all those those headaches. Got to be a motive behind it. I don't know what, other than, hey, look at us, we're playing in London. Maybe that's all it is. I don't know. Hard to say. It's
a novel idea, and I would, you know, if they said, hey, Louisville's going to go play a game in London, I'd say, yeah, that sounds kind of fun, but not sure why.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. How do you, you know, I hate to be a cynic in this, but how do you monetize that? What do they, you know, what do you, is it, or as I said, is it just a matter of why are we doing it? Because we can. I don't know. There's some, maybe there's some merit to that being part of the brand. I don't know. We'll see going forward. Well, I said I was giving you the kind of the steering wheel of the show, and you got volleyball, and then I kind of steamrolled it. So,
we touched on the three main topics: volleyball, football, and basketball. If you want to add one more, how about the struggles of the Louisville women's basketball team?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, they've spoiled us. We think they mm-hmm. never lose, and yeah, they're going through some rough times now as well. So, more good news for Louisville fans.
Yeah.
Just what they need. Let's play worst case scenario. I mean, I'm sorry, but people talking about coaching changes drive me crazy also, because that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. It really is. I mean, that's not to say I'm not a child. Maybe it doesn't work out for Kenny here. I don't know. That's possible. It's not impossible. But so if that's the case, then obviously somewhere down the road there'd be changes in coaches. But to be talking about that 7 games into a guy's tenure strikes me as completely ridiculous. But, you know, what is the end game here? Suppose they have a really, really disastrous year, which is possible. I mean, could this be a year they win like 7 games, Paul? Is that possible? Is that even in the discussion?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say that's going to happen, but you're looking at what you've seen so far and what you're looking at down the road. I think that's a distinct possibility. And then, but I don't care what it is. You don't get rid of a coach after 1 year, especially a coach who's a former player who understands what this place is and is trying to rebuild it in the way he sees fit. It might not be the way all the fans see fit, but it's the way that Kenny wants to do it. And keep in mind, when you talk about, you know, Louisville basketball's glory days, with each year, they're fading a little bit further in the distance, and 4 or 5 years to an 18-year-old who you're recruiting,
absolutely,
you can lose your relevancy. So you've got to make sure you start the turnaround quickly before Louisville becomes forgotten about. And I don't foresee that happening. I sort of hope it doesn't happen. But while it's going to be a process and one that's going to take a while, that's kind of in the back of your mind. We need to get this thing going as soon as we can. And I know Kenny knows that as well as anyone. He understands the magnitude of this program as much or more than anyone. And he's going to try and get it back to where it was and that way of grassroots characters, recruiting. He'll go in the portal now. I'm convinced he will go more aggressively into the portal now that you have the green light from an NCAA standpoint. And hopefully players will see the opportunity and jump at it.
This is not a knock. We talk about this all the time. You have to let us be able to converse without making it sound like every time you don't get on the air and say, oh, everybody and everything is hunky-dory, all seashells and balloons, as Al McGuire used to say. But I was struck with the fact that he didn't really put a guy who was known as a quote-unquote recruiter on his staff, did he? I mean, that's not really what they were known as. I mean,
I think Nolan Smith was considered to be a pretty good recruiter.
No disrespect, but that was John Shire's gig. I mean, John Shire was the guy who signed like all those high name guys. That's one of the reasons he got the job. I mean, he's got the relationship with those kids. I'm sure he had some recruiting to do, and Danny certainly did as a former head coach. But that's not what they're known as. You know, they're not known as. Just the kind of, I don't know how else to put it. I mean, Luke Murphy kind of guys, Luke Murray kind of guys. You know, Luke was a recruiter. That's basically what he was perceived as.
Kenny at UK, he was known for developing big men, that's for sure. Was he also known as a high-profile recruiter?
That's what I was told. I mean, you know, I don't pay much attention to recruiting, but I do know that the people who do said that, yeah, he was the guy that was behind a lot of those big-name players coming. So you could say, well, he didn't bring a recruiter in because he's the recruiter himself. Okay, but still, once you become a head coach, you just can't recruit the same way you used to. You just can't. I mean, you got too many other responsibilities. So I don't don't know if, you know, and I'm, forgive me, I don't know what Josh's deal at Oregon was. You know, I don't know what his, maybe he was the guy they thought was going to be the big recruiter guy. I don't know.
I think he was more of an administrator at Oregon.
That's what I mean. So they don't really have the bulldog guy. I mean, excuse me, but the guy that the guy that typified that for a long time, maybe to a fault, he's still coaching, was Tom Abatamarco, who you know. His approach was, when he woke up in the morning, his eyes opened up and the first thoughts he had were, what are the recruits doing today? And I thought, my God, that sounds tragic. but that's how it was, and that's what it took. And that's, and you know, and maybe there's less of that going on now, because back then, you know, this there were no rules really in terms of, you could go bump kids 365 days out of the year, and you know, you couldn't do formal visits and things, but you could have reason to have interaction with them. You go see them practice as many times as you wanted. Now there's so many restrictions, as dead periods and all that kind of stuff, and the shoe company weren't nearly as involved as they are now, so maybe the whole landscape's different. But I still think there's guys out there that are reputations are primarily as recruiters. I don't know. Maybe that's not true anymore. But I don't know. In Denny's day, who was his recruiter?
Several different ones. Bill Olson early on. I mean, yep. Stories about Bill living in Scuba, Mississippi, and Jack to recruit guys like Charles Jones and Lancaster Gordon and those, Wade Houston also. In his later years, I don't know that any one guy was known as.
Who went and got all those Jersey kids?
That was that Wade? I think it might have been.
Might have been Wade, right? Probably was
Wade.
Wade
Houston.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, so I guess there's still guys like that out there. I don't know. Speaking of Luke Murray, Connecticut's off to a good start. I mean, so he's landed on his feet. So this sadly is becoming like the New York Mets, where when everybody leaves, then good things.
Yeah, no, I'm almost afraid to check.
It's just awful to see, but gosh, it really is. It is. I'm not making light of it. I feel the pain as much as anybody. In fact, Paul had to kind of lecture me the other day, which was kind of, stop being a fan, put your analyst hat on, because it was just painful. It's painful to watch, and you know, you can say that, but I could see it in your face too. It's hard. It's hard to watch. It's especially if you like the people, and as we said, this seems to be a very likable staff, and the kids that I've had a chance to interact with seem like very good kids. They're nice kids, and you know, so it's not easy to watch them struggle the way they're struggling. That's the thing. That is the one thing that, I don't know, I'd like your input, because people say they're not playing hard. I don't think it's that simple. I think they look like a bunch of kids that are confused.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're confused, you know, what do they call paralysis by analysis? You can almost, if they were cartoon strips, they'd have the little question mark over their head, you know, when they do that when the character in the comic strip is befuddled as to what to do. That's what I'm struck by.
I mostly agree, and I've said that very thing, that you can see the guys thinking so much, and when you do that, it does take away some of your instinctiveness, your quickness, you get more plodding. But even at that, I do have a hard time in my own mind rectifying not diving on the floor after a loose ball, not getting back on defense, not chasing after a loose ball rebound. Some of that I'm trying to figure out why that is happening, because that's just plain old-fashioned hustle that takes nothing else but desire.
Is it, you know, I guess I was, I listened and tried to stay on top of stuff, but obviously was kind of busy with my own little challenges here. So when you talk to Kenny after the game, I'm going to guess some people reacted, because when you say to tell the public that you basically are polling the players, have you given up? That's not going to sit well with anybody, I don't think. I mean, first of all, should you do it? Okay. I mean, you know, you're trying to make the point to the guys, hey, are you still with me on this? Are we still in this together? But do you have to share that with everybody? How did that go down, do you think, with people?
I was a little surprised that he brought it up, because that kind of seems like something you do in the privacy of the locker room. But I actually didn't really notice any outward reaction one way or another. I appreciate Kenny's candor.
He's been
pretty straightforward about everything.
You've heard me. I've said that to him on the air at the end of interviews. It's on the tape. Thank you for you just come up here and you answer questions. And he is never short, disrespectful, curt. Sadly, they've been the same questions over and over.
Yeah, that's the tricky part.
Yeah, and he still answers them and gives you a thoughtful answer. So make no mistake, I think we're all appreciative of that. That may be one of the main reasons you want to win, is just because people are getting a little tired of hearing the same thing. But what else can he say? What can you say? I mean, the reality is what it is. That's the candor of Kenny. I just wonder sometimes that might have been better served to keep that. I'm trying to kind of work through this myself on the air, because I don't know. In some ways, maybe it's good. Maybe it's consistent with his brand. His brand is, I am transparent. I'll tell you everything we're doing. And so if that's the case, when you ask a question like that, he's not, transparent to a point, but then I'm going to close ranks. He's telling you the truth. I asked guys, have you packed it in on me? And he said they assured him they haven't. I remember from my college philosophy class, one of the great philosophers, I don't remember who it was, said one of the keys is the reason you bring things up, even if you're pretty certain that they are not true, is when you get the other person to deny it, they have to first acknowledge it. And that's half the battle. You want them to acknowledge it. Well, that's kind of the inverse of that here. You don't want anybody acknowledging the fact that the kids may have quit. you don't even want that on the discussion. So that's my concern about it, is that now all of a sudden we got to worry about other kids packing it in. Maybe it's disingenuous why coaches won't do that, but Kenny's not afraid to let you know that he asked them that very question. So.
Well, and he's concerned about the mental well-being of this group. I saw for the first time late in the game the other night, real frustration from Mike James. And mm-hmm. he is a guy who is the most upbeat person you would ever want to meet, and who, I've told you this before, in my talks with him, he keeps saying, no matter what happens, I'm never going to lose my appreciation for being able to be out here playing the game, which was taken away from me last year. But like I said, it even got to him a little bit the other night. Now, I'm sure he'll bounce back and he'll be practicing hard and playing hard, but nobody's immune. When you keep getting beat down time and time again, it's hard to, keep just smiling and keep going. Sometimes you got to hang your head a little bit and think it over and maybe take some time to recover.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they're going to get much of a recovery this week. This is going to be a tall task, so we'll see how that plays out on this Sunday. All right, we're at the bottom of the hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We have our picks to make. We got lots more games to pick from than we thought. It's the basically last week of college football. I don't know. I guess we could do it through the playoffs. As long as there's college football to be played, we'll make picks so that nobody can claim.
Well, I mean, we'll have plenty of bowl games to pick from, I guess.
Well, that's true. That's right. What was I talking about? There's only 600 bowl games coming up. I don't want to look like that guy with a 2-game lead that now declares it over. Ted Williams got there. Ted Williams was batting 400 the last game of the regular season and could have sat doubleheader. They had a doubleheader and could have sat it out. And he actually was batting 399.98 or something, and it would have been rounded up to 400. And they said, you want to sit it out? And he said, nay, nay. And he played both ends of the doubleheader and he got like 6 hits.
Yeah.
And Rose's
went out of the south.
406. There you go. So that's the way to do it. So I'm not going to rest on my laurels, by golly. We'll see this thing through to the end. All right, we'll take a break. Fast Break Friday, presented by Kentucky's original ginger soft drink, Ale 8, since 1926. Well, the soft drink, 1926. Our show's not that old, but we're glad to have them on as a sponsor and glad that you're with us as well on this Friday on ESPN 680 105.7.
You're listening. listening to The V Show, broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Bobby V.
All right, so far I managed to get through the first half of the program and basically the first three quarters of having to keep a secret, and I've been able to do it. I normally don't do that. Nick does a very determined job to get a guest picker and keep it secret, and then I usually spill the beans in like the first 15 minutes. But today, I have not, and I don't even know. Paul, do you know who it is?
No, I do not.
Oh, very exciting! And you're in for a treat. You're in for a treat here. No, it's going to be very good. But I'll tell you one thing that as great as this next guest is going to be, If you're in pain, you're not going to enjoy it. And so that's what I'm here to tell you about. We can do something about that, or at least they can. They are QC Kinetics. If you're sick and tired of living with that constant pain in your knees and back, joint pain doesn't just keep you from doing what you love. It affects your job, your relationships, even enjoying our next guest. You don't want that. So do something about it. Call the folks at QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics uses advanced regenerative medicine to restore and repair damaged joint tissue, giving you your life back. Hips, shoulders, elbows, they can all be treated with natural biologics from your own body. Powerful healing agents that are highly concentrated. So if you're tired of steroid shots that may not work as well as you'd like, or you're trying to avoid surgery, call QC Kinetics now to schedule your free consultation. Learn about these exciting new cutting-edge treatments for pain caused by arthritis or injury. No drugs, no pain meds, no downtime. This is an all-natural treatment that can get you lasting relief. People here are raving about the results, but there's only one way to find out if they can help you, and that's to call them to get your free consultation. Give them a call, 502-219-4636. There are appointments available even as quickly as this coming week, but they'll only happen if you give them a call, 502-219-4636. 502-219-4636. That's QC Kinetics. All right, so we are I'm waiting for the clearance from the tower. All right, so we're ready to go. We're going to welcome in our mystery picker here straight ahead.
Name, who's hit going to be the guest picker?
Oh, gosh, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, again, if you could get Jennifer Lawrence, that would be great.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of...
Where'd it go? Why am I not hearing it?
I don't know. Hello?
So was Dead Air brought to you by Schmeichenfelder's Funeral Home again? Oh, man. So that's great. So we try and make this guy feel welcome. We've got a whole opening done for him. We play it, play 10 seconds of it. You hear Diener saying something about Jennifer Lawrence, and then we're supposed to have some other cool stuff. And
name, who's just going to be the guest picker?
Oh, gosh, there we go. Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, again, if you could get Jennifer Lawrence, that would be great.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
There we go. So it worked. So that was good. By the way, every time Diener says that, it sounds to me like he's saying, if you could get dinner for Lawrence. First time I heard that, I was like, what the hell is he talking about?
Someone asked me once in an interview, what was growing up like? Where'd you go to school and what would you do if you weren't doing this?
Yeah, for more than two decades, Kent Taylor has been working more than his share of 12, 14-hour days trying to feed you information in a sports-crazed market. So tonight, Kent's highlight of the night is Kent.
See, as we are back here live at Churchill Downs, I'm Kent Taylor. My guitar.
It's not because he did all the coaches' shows, even one where the coach got fired while it aired.
I'm joined each and every week by Bellarmine head basketball coach Scotty Davin.
And Kent was driven to be the best. Kentucky Sportscaster of the Year 6 times. Most thorough sportscast every time.
Maybe fate works better, defined as the development of events beyond a person's control, regarded as determined by a supernatural power. On September 5th, 2018, John Asher was laid to rest. 2 years to the day later, the top three-year-olds in the world will run for the roses. This is a story about a bond between a woman and baseball, and a bond between a grandmother and a grandson.
A couple of quick baskets by Grand Canyon. Louisville wins it 111-63. They improved to 7-1.
Kent Taylor cared, not about the scores, but about the scores of stories behind the games we watch.
Mayo High School, the Dogs have been scoring in bunches, almost 59 points a game since that season opening loss at Trinity, but it was Fern Creek who got going first.
So there you go, Paul. You got to guess who it is.
John Bowl?
No. Not quite, although you heard a lot of John Bowl on there paying tribute to our next guest who has hung up his microphone, I guess, is the best way to put it. Kent Taylor says adieu to all of his loyal fans on Wave 3 and joins us right now. My friend, how you doing? Have you taken any world cruises in your 3 days of retirement?
Just playing shuffleboard and Sudoku, pretty much. Getting ready to eat dinner. I'm not retired necessarily, just reevaluating, moving on to the next thing. But thank you, Nick, for that was pretty impressive, and I really appreciate him putting in the like that guy in Maui. Well, you all were in Maui, but I'm sure you heard it, the play-by-play guy for Texas Tech game, who had completely lost his voice, and then they just had Damian Fishback do the whole game by himself. But yeah, that nice touch from the that game a couple years ago where I had no voice.
Was that with me? Who were you doing that with? Were we doing that together?
I think I was with Jody.
But I heard about that when you completely went hoarse. Has that ever happened to you, Paul?
Yeah. Stuff you've done? Back in 1996 at the NCAA tournament, I completely lost my voice. I tried to get through the first half and just could not. And remember David Sullivan? He worked at Channel 41 at the time.
Oh, yeah.
He, whose father was Claude Sullivan, by the
Claude,
way.
Yeah.
Claude and Kaywood were equals for many years. David was there, and he wound up doing the second half for me. And I took a bunch of steroids and was there. Thankfully, they looked dead. They were, and I thought, what a way to go out. But they rallied and won the game, and I got some pretty good steroid treatments from all the medical people, and got my voice back and was able to do the next game, which they beat Villanova, which was a big upset at the time, and then went on to the Sweet 16 and lost to Wake Forest when Tim Duncan didn't walk.
funny, to bring that all full circle, I've got the banner that was at mid-court for that Sweet 16, it was in the office, sports office. I just had to bring that down. It says NCAA Midwest Regional, like Minneapolis. Yeah. And I have the part that says Wake Forest in Utah. The only thing that was already taken from the arena was the one little section that said Louisville and Kentucky, because they were both there.
Their fans are thieves. No, I'm just kidding.
Media. It was somebody in the media.
Some of the media. Well, medias are old. So they're thieves too.
Right. Yeah.
So you guys. I mean, when I got to town, to give you an idea how long I've been here now, you were still working as part of Fred's staff. You were Fred's assistant, basically. So I mean, that's how long ago that was.
I worked at 32 WLKY for 1995-ish. I was an intern there before that, and then until about 2000 is when I went to Waves.
So that is a long go.
I had forgotten that completely.
You had really? You'd forgotten that?
The most jarring thing to the other day, they had a little thing at the station where these kids at the station are like, yeah, I grew up watching you. I'm like, hold on, man. Pump the brakes. I'm not that old.
It is true, though. You were the kid. You were. Well, I was a kid. We were all kids. It was a different time. But not that you're old now. I mean, you made the point about not retiring because your wife, I know, has made a career shift. And you're going to do the same. Were you motivated because she's moved on to other things? Or how did her decision affect your decision?
Just a chance to, kind of maybe try something different, take some time off, take a little break, and just kind of reevaluate things, I think. And she, she's doing PR right now at Price Weber and loves it. And so we'll see. Like tonight we have a Christmas thing we have to go to and a Christmas party, and our daughter's in a Christmas pageant that I wouldn't have been able to go to if I was working. So the time worked out great. I got quite a bit of stuff I found people schedule for me.
There's a whole big world of life that's gone on out there around you.
Well, you used to have the excuse, I got to work.
Yeah.
It was kind of an excuse every day.
You know, The big awakening for me when I left iHeart a couple of years ago was, as you may recall, it happened not voluntarily at the time, although it turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me, but it was a bit of a shock. And I was on the road for a basketball game, and then we came home. And then that night, my first night at home, I'm watching a Kentucky basketball game, and they get beat on a three-pointer at the buzzer. And all of a sudden, it occurred to me, holy blank, I don't have to go in tomorrow morning and talk about this. It was like this big relief that, wow, I can just, you know, kind of watch games and don't have to be so analytical and go in the next every morning and, with no sleep and talk about last night's game. So you'll find that there's a world out there, Kent, that you probably didn't know existed.
Well, and the fact
you lose being a fan. And
no question.
I mean, I have at least 6 months here. I have a 6 month no compete, so we'll see. But and we'll get to. I mean, I'm excited to watch like the NCAA tournament. To be honest with you, because you know, for a lot of that, when we're on the road, I mean, you guys know when you're on the road, you don't get to see it like you do. I mean, I can remember when I was a kid watching. You know, you remember every game, every Final Four, and now, you know, when you're in the business, you're working most of the time, and a lot of times the games that are definitely the ones that are at the site where you are, you're not going to see any of that. Yeah, so I'm kind of looking forward to becoming a sports fan again.
I've only had the opportunity to do it once because, you know, for Louisville was in it for most of the years. But one year they weren't in it, and I don't have ESPN assignments at that point because they don't have the rights to the NCAA tournament. I didn't have an NIT game, so I was in Vegas. I'm telling you, that's the place to be for the NCAA tournament in the early rounds. You want to experience?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It is one of the most incredible things. What's the name of the one? Oh, I forget which casino is at. It has the biggest sports book, and it is just amazing. The place is packed. There's 900 televisions. Every time a basket goes in, there's a corner of the building that's screaming and yelling, and it's just so much fun. It was really, really – so if you really want a fan's experience, well, you won't be able to because you got to coach your daughter's team, I know. But if you could drag yourself away.
I think our season will be over by then. Don't worry.
Well, then I'm telling you, you'll thank me. It's that good. It really is an extraordinary experience if you want to be a fan. So give that some consideration. Just my one bit of early retirement advice for you. So there's
Go ahead and start the GoFundMe page if you want to.
Yeah, people would do it. You were a tad pop. How many times you win Sportscaster of the Year here?
The AP thing, I think six.
Wow.
Paul won that NSMA thing. That thing is really cool to go to.
Yeah,
they've won in that organization. They put on a heck of an event.
I think you've won that. Right? You've won that too, though.
I've won it a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah,
Actually, the thing is, the timing of that, the first year I won it, my all-time sports hero, John Elway, was there. He was introducing Rick Riley, who got in it, and they
really?
Both gave amazing speeches. And I actually got to met him for a second and bought a jersey in the auction because I figured he's not going to, you know, he probably signed this. It's not like something that somebody just grabbed and faked it or something. He's here. And then I got a picture of him with it, too, which was cool. So.
Do you have any idea what you want to do?
I don't. I mean, something in the business somehow. I mean, that's all I've ever done. So we'll see. I mean,
would you like to do play-by-play for the Louisville Florida A&M game?
maybe.
That's an interesting point. Are you still going to do the TV games, or is that part of the deal as
There's
well?
There's only one more of those on the ACC network coming up on December 20th, the Lipscomb game. That's the last one of those. You know,
and you are
dwindled down.
And you are going to do that, though, right?
I am anticipating it, yes, at this point.
Well, because you said, I watched that last broadcast, and with Bull and you, and it was very good, very nicely done, tastefully done. But you kind of hinted at, you said, I've got a few things in the works. So I was like, this guy, he's got something cooking already. He just isn't going to tell us.
Well, I mean, I've got a six-month no-compete, so I've got to get through that and then see. But there are some possibilities, and, you know, we'll see what works out. But I'm going to have to do something. I definitely cannot retire.
Some of them might involve us, you know. Come do radio. You've done radio.
I do enjoy radio. I would not – that could be a possibility, certainly.
Yeah.
So is that an offer? Go. Was that an offer?
I'm not in a position, but sure, why not?
You don't mean get paid for radio, Kent. You just want to come be on the radio, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's,
I was just hoping. I mean, does this not pay this celebrity expected thing doesn't pay? Wait a minute. Nick lied to me. He told me I got a Tom Cream bobblehead and I was going to get paid.
I do have a bobblehead for you and a burger coupon. Yeah, I got you, man.
There we go. You see, he'll take care of you. Absolutely. Well, you're going to be missed. You do a great job. And what will you – here we go. You've been asked this a million times, but I'll make it a million and one. What do you think you'll miss the most?
You know, I thought of this the other day. The thing is, I'll miss the process. Like, I like – being especially at Derby time when we had so much that we had to do at Derby time, and it's, you know, Paul, you, it's on the backside all the time, and then we'd have like between 16 to 20 stories that we would have to do for that the Derby and Oaks coverage all day. And but I enjoyed being in there, like, you know, just sitting there at the editor and putting that stuff together, and then just the feeling when you finish it all and you know now it's you know, the hay's in the barn now, it's just a matter of getting out there. And I'll miss that kind of feeling, but what I won't miss is I don't know. We'll see. It's stressful. I always equate it to like people who, you know, they get all amped up. They have to do a project for work, or they have to do like a 3-minute presentation or something. And in TV sports, you do that every day. You're coming up with a 3-minute thing that you're trying to come up with the best content for and stuff like that. So I'll enjoy probably taking a step back, and then, you know, I'll be ready to get back into something. I would imagine pretty soon here, depending on how demanding the schedule is here at the house. I feel like, Coach, after our we had a practice yesterday with our 10 fourth grade girls, and it's a little stressful. Not the best listeners. And afterwards, I was like, what's happening here?
Well, when Tom Brady came out of retirement, they said he spent a week when Giselle had him doing all the household chores. He said, I'm going back to work.
Yeah, I'm going back.
You saw that worked out for him.
Yeah, that's a good point. Don't tell him and Connie that. That's not a good example. That's clearly not a good example. You've never been a head coach before, I don't think. So I think we're going to come and question all your decisions like they're doing with Kenny.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. There's a lot you don't know about, especially when you have. Although, you know, he's got kids at least who've played the game before. he doesn't have to teach him how to line up for the jump ball or how to inbound the ball.
God bless you. I you know, it's terrible, terrible to say, because I don't think anybody loves their kids more than I love mine, and I coach them, quote unquote. You know, the way.
But you love. But Jamie more than Nick, right?
Well, this is a guy who gets the show. He clearly gets the show.
Yep.
But I could never coach them on little kids' teams because I was too afraid that I would be too serious about it. So, you know, or the other way around, that I wouldn't be serious enough for some of the parents who are expecting you to, you know, get their kids all scholarships somewhere. And I would have to remind them that they're, you know,
well,
eight.
You'll like this. This is a coach thing. You'll like this because, like, our first game this year, we're playing this. And the problem is we're all fourth graders. We're playing in a league with, like, fifth and sixth. And these kids are a lot bigger. And, I mean, the first game, we couldn't even hardly get a shot off. We're down, like, 43-1.
That's tough margin to make up.
I call a timeout with a minute left, and I'm like, all right, come on, girls. Let's, you know, penetrate in the zone, in the gap. Let's just get a shot. Let's get one basket. We go out there. They completely back off defensively. Don't guard us at all. So my little girl, Emerson, goes, and she happens to get a shot and scores. She comes over, and she goes, Dad, why don't you call a timeout earlier and draw a play?
That's perfect. Getting questioned by your 10-year-olds, right? Why are you guys playing up, by the way? Why are you playing with kids so much older than your kids?
No, that's a question for the AD. I don't know. I'm not sure why. I thought last year was a problem when we were in third grade, and now it's still a problem. But, I'm not sure. I think they have mixed – we have enough players in the – in the different grades where they have different, you know, a team for each grade, and maybe the other schools don't. I don't know.
There's a special wing in heaven for people who coach the little ones. There really is. Did you see this video? It's so viral. Maybe you both have seen it. It is, it's about, there's kids playing a T-ball game. and the one little kid is up, and he swings, and he hits the ball, but he follows through and just lets the bat go. So the coach is standing behind him, so he hits the coach in the shins with the bat. So the coach, you know, recoils a little bit. Then the ball goes to kind of up the middle, and the kid, the batter, runs directly to second base.
What
gets better? So he goes from second base, and then for some inexplicable reason, he runs into left field. I'm not sure he knows where to go. So he knows he's supposed to run, so he goes into left field, and then the parents of the kids that are in the field are telling him, well, you know, he hasn't gone to first. Throw it to first, you'll get him out. So they pick it up, and they throw it to third for some reason, because that's the direction he's running. And then you see they go out of frame a little bit, and you see a bunch of kids like a Ouija board. They all try and chase the ball, and then they pick it up. I'm telling you, you will not be able to watch this without laughing out loud. They throw it across the field towards first base, where there's one of their he's not really a first baseman because he's not on the base, but he's near the base, and the ball comes and hits him right in the head. He goes down like a shot. He goes down like a Hollywood movie guy. And meanwhile, the little kid is still trolleying around the outfield. He goes, and he finally touches third, and then he runs home. And you know, then him and the kid that was ahead of him on the bases go racing, I don't know, to get ice cream or something. But that whole little chaos is priceless. And I imagine your girls are not quite that bad. But
that's our mayhem moment brought to you by Allstate.
I'm telling you, it could have been. I'm going to see if I can find it, and I'll send it to you guys. You will. I watched it five times without being able to watch it without laughing out loud. It's that funny. It's hilarious. So so you guys lost your opener 40. Was that this year or last year, 48-3?
Well, that was this year.
Well, you got.
They're 10 years old. They can't even get the ball at the basket. One of the parents has a video of. And I watch it. It's hilarious. I'll send it to you because it's this kid on the other team hits a 15-foot jumper right in front of our bench. And I mean, we don't have a kid who can score other than right at the basket. You know,
right.
I turn around, she hits it, and I turn around to the parents behind us, and I'm like, "What the? You know."
We don't have anybody who can reach from there.
Exactly, right.
Oh, man,
we don't have a kid who's ever made a shot from outside the lane, and this kid's hitting jumpers.
I'll have to give you Al Skinner's number. Remember Al Skinner, Paul? Do you remember Al Skinner?
Yeah.
Al Skinner, the former coach at Pitt. At Boston College.
Boston College.
Ran the tightest flex I've ever seen in my life. He had all five of his players within like 10 feet of the basket. And then you put the five defenders in there. It was like Grand Central Station at rush hour. They just kept – but nobody shot the ball from more than like 4 feet away. So that's it. That's the offense for your girls. I got to get Al to come in and give you a clinic, give you a personal – Al Skinner flex moment. So maybe that'll help you girls. All right. Well, we've already gone past the top of the hour, so let's have you make your picks. Have you decided who you're picking, or how are we doing this, Nick? What's he picking exactly?
Oh, I didn't come up with any
college games. Football, I take it?
Yeah.
Why don't we all three pick the college football playoff games?
I kind of like that.
Okay.
I like
Sounds
that.
Sounds good.
The playoff games? We're not at the playoffs yet.
The conference championship games. Yeah.
Well, that's how, you're not going to be able to catch me then in that unless all I got to do is pick what you pick and you won't be able to catch me.
Well, if you want to be defensive, you can do it that way.
Well, that's my nature. I mean, I'm going to play. That's how you win.
How close is the record?
I mean, 33-31. I'm up by two. I don't like this. That's what you want to do. That's what we'll do. But all right. So we'll start in the Pac-12 championship tonight. Now, are we picking just the winner or against the spread? That's the other thing.
We always pick against
the spread. All right. Go ahead. So now you could go the other way. If you pick first all the time, you have no chance to win because I'll just pick what you pick. But we'll alternate. So we'll let Kent pick first, and then maybe he'll influence us. So you got Utah and USC. USC lost to Utah during the regular season. That's the only loss they have.
I got lines and everything favorites. If you need them.
I've got them. They're three-point favorites.
USC's a three-point favorite. I'm going to take USC. I think that was like on a late two-point conversion.
Don't remember.
You said USC's only lost their playing.
It was a one-point game.
I think Utah scored a touchdown and then went for two and got it to beat them by one. Their only loss, they've got, you know, they're obviously going to be in the playoff with a win. The Pac-12 teams rarely make the playoff, although, you know, it's hard to call them a Pac-12 team. How much longer are they going to be in the league? But let's go. I think USC will win, and I think they'll win by more than three.
All right. So Kent takes the Trojans. Go ahead. Paul, how do you want to do this? You want to go first on this one?
Yeah, I trust that you will make your own pick, not based upon my pick.
Oh, no, I'll definitely pick who you pick just to try and win the game. But
right, I'm with Kent. I'm giving the three. The game is in Vegas, by the way, if that matters to anybody.
Yep.
And the one-point loss was at Utah.
I am going to give you a chance right here, okay? I will take Utah because, according to the Sagarin, Utah should actually be a two-point favorite, and based on how they played recently, they should be a three-point favorite. And I'm getting points in this game. Is that correct? Aren't I getting points in this?
Three.
How many am I getting? What am I getting?
Three.
Okay, so I'll take Utah plus three, and Paul takes USC minus three. All right, next game I'll have to pick first after we see what Mr. Taylor says. And that would be the Big 12, the Dr. Pepper Big 12 Championship, where the unbeaten TCU Horned Frogs take on Kansas State. TCU is a 1.5-point favorite. Who do you like there?
1.5. I'm going to take TCU again. I think they'll win by. I'll take TCU to win outright. And I think, yeah, they won the regular season meeting, right? They played in the regular season.
Yeah, they're undefeated. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
They're unbeaten.
But they did play and they beat them by 7, so I think they'll beat them again. And again, like USC, they've got the. Although it's. You know, it never the four teams who were in position to make the playoff really won that last game. But I'll take the Horned Frogs.
All right, I have to pick. I'm picking first in this one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm going to. But I know what you're going to pick. But I would agree with you anyway. I think it may be closer. Well, the margin is only 1.5, so I think it'll be a close game. Kansas State's pretty good, but I'll stay with TCU as well. I think they'll get it done. So TCU laying just 1.5.
Yeah, I'm with both of you on it. You know me, I've been on TCU all year
long. That's why I said I knew you were going to pick them. But
that win, by the way, they had they came from way back. I forget exactly how much, but they had a pretty big deficit that game when they came back and won at Kansas State. So anyway, right. I'll take TCU minus 1.5.
All right. The next one, I don't think any of us would dispute the fact that we expect Georgia to win the game. The question is, do you expect them to cover, Kent? 17.5 points in a conference championship game. That's many points. How do you feel about that?
I know. I mean, LSU's quarterback got hurt last week, but I think he's playing. I think I might take LSU to, I think Georgia will win the game, but I'm not sure they're going to win it by that much.
All right, Paul, it is your first this time, so what do you
think? Yeah, I'm the same deal. I can't imagine Georgia losing this game, but that's a lot of points to give up in a championship game. And LSU last week notwithstanding at Texas A&M, I don't know what the heck happened there, but I'd have to take the point, so I'll go with LSU.
I could go either way on this, but I'm going to try and steal a point here. So I'll take Georgia and lay all those points. I think that Georgia's the real deal. LSU is spotty, and as you said, they may have some quarterback issues. I just don't think Georgia's going to stumble here. I think their defense is going to rise to the occasion. I think they could cover and not have to score a whole boatload of points. They could cover in this game 31-10. I mean, that's how good their defense has been. So I'm going to say Georgia adds to their legacy here. But here's a chance for Paul to get a point back because I will take Georgia. And I normally do not like to lay that many points. That's too many points. But I'm going to go for it. So LSU plus 17. Plus, I can't take the LSU Kim Mulkeys. I just can't do it. Goes against the my grain there. So, all right. Next one for you is the American Athletic Championship, Tulane, laying 4. This should actually be a good game. They're ranked 18th. UCF is ranked 22nd. And Tulane's 10-2. UCF's 9-3. Tulane laying 4. Who do you like there, Mr. Taylor?
Is that at Tulane Stadium? Is that at their stadium?
I will tell you in literally 10 seconds. Let me find the matchup here, right here. Let's find the game, damn it. There it is. Okay, this game is being played at
Yulman Stadium. Is that Tulane's new home field, I guess?
I don't know.
It is. It's at Tulane. Yes, it's at Tulane.
Okay. At Tulane, Central Florida won in the regular season. I think I still am going to pick Central Florida.
Wow, okay.
4-point underdog. I'm going to take the underdog here who won the regular season meeting. I'm going to take Central Florida.
Take the points. All right, you're up first this one, Paul.
I'm inclined to do the same thing. I have a hard time getting on the Tulane bandwagon, even though they keep winning. But I've liked UCF all year. I'm getting 4 points. I'm going with the Knights.
Well, we have another difference of opinion here because Tulane recency bias should be a 5-point favorite. So I will take Tulane. I like the home team. What's the spread? How many points am I giving you?
four?
Four?
Four. That is a lot. I'm not a big fan of that. But UCF plus four. All right, so two of you guys like UCF. I'll take Tulane minus the four. All right, we move back to major, quote-unquote, college football, the Big Ten championship.
Okay, hang on a second. Are we going to do four college and one pros again?
No. We're going to blow through the whole. Here's your idea. So we're going to blow through. Okay. We're going to do right. Purdue and Michigan.
Because I was going to say, if we did that, then the Purdue-Michigan game and the Clemson-North Carolina game, you and I could each do one of those.
One. All right. Well,
but,
we can do that.
That's, I don't care. Well, we've been doing five a week, so I didn't know what you wanted to do.
No, that's all right, because we've got an NFL game to do yet anyway. So, all right. Purdue and Michigan. Michigan, a heavy favorite, 16.5-point favorite against Purdue. The Fighting Jeff Broms. Kent Taylor, who do you like here?
This is a tough one because that's a lot of points. Purdue generally plays well against teams ranked in the top two or three, right?
Yeah.
Michigan's running back, Corum's out. But they blew out Ohio State last week. I know Purdue, their quarterback, Aiden O'Connell, his brother, died earlier this week. That's got to be an issue for him. I think, as much as I hate to do it to Jeff Brohm, but I think I might take Michigan.
All right. Who's up first in this one, me, Paul?
I believe so. Right.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a great job that he got them there. My only fear is the hangover. I mean, that they were so fired up for the Ohio State game, then to come back a neutral site and play a four-loss Purdue team. Maybe they, you know, they don't get it done. But I just think this year, if let's put it this way, if they don't get it done this year, there's no more excuses. So I'll lay all the points. But, boy, that's an awful lot of points. I'm not really happy about doing that. Michigan laying 16.5. You can try and steal one here, Paul. You're going to go fighting Jeff Broms.
Purdue seems to play their best against the really good teams.
That is true.
And that is a pretty good point spread. So I'll have to go with Purdue and take 16.5.
All right, we wrap it up with the ACC championship. Clemson 10-2, North Carolina 9-3. Clemson's a 7.5-point favorite. Who do you like here, Mr. Taylor?
I think I'm going to go with the Tigers. Coming off their loss to South Carolina last week, North Carolina has been struggling. They've lost two in a row, right? Georgia Tech, NC State.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think I like Dabo's ability to get his kids refocused after, because their defense is pretty good. And I'm going to take the Tigers to, in a shocker, I'm going to pick Clemson to win the ACC championship.
There we go. That's going out on a limb. All right, Paul, what do you think? You're going first on this one.
2011 was the last time Clemson lost consecutive games.
Yikes.
So, I mean, theoretically, they could win this and not cover, I understand. But I'm going to go with the Tigers also, -7.5.
Well, the good news is, even though we picked the same games, this is the first one we agree on, because I can't pick against Clemson either. So we're all three of us, unanimity there for the Clemson Tigers to win the ACC championship. Paul and I will do an NFL pick in a moment to wrap up our picks for this week. But before we do that, I want to tell you, it's been a great pleasure to get to know you these years. And tonight, I hope your new career moves don't have you move, so we'll still see each other, and maybe you'll be around the radio station. And congratulations on a great run at Wave. You've made a lot of friends and won a lot of awards, and all of it well-deserved, my friend.
Thank you very much for having me. Bob, you're welcome to come to practice any day.
That'd be great. I'm going to be barking at girls, getting in the lane, blocking shots, you know, like what was that commercial ESPN did with the whoever Canby or get Garnett or one of them, I don't remember, just smacking stuff on the kids. So good luck to you, my friend, and say hi to your wife. We wish you the best.
I will do it. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Kent Taylor, bidding adieu to the folks at Wave. And the times, they are changing, man. Except you. You will. I decided today, I was thinking about this as we get ready for the show, Paul Rogers will announce his announcement after the final game of the 2040 season. That's it. That's going to wrap it up.
2040. 18 more years?
Yeah, so that'll make.
I'll be 90. Yeah, I can.
Yeah, that's
for
your 90th birthday. That's, you're going to be Vin Scully. Your 90th birthday, that's what you're going to do. You're going to announce.
How old is Bill Hillgrove? He's all up into his 80s, isn't he? The Pittsburgh announcer?
Let's take a fast look. Thank God.
And how old was Vin Scully? Was he 85?
Vin Scully, no, he retired. I think he got to, if he wasn't 90, he was damn close. Let's go look at those. Bill Hillgrove is currently 82 years old. So, and he's still going strong. And Vin Scully, I believe, if he didn't work till 90, he worked awfully, awfully close. He worked, he died at, in just earlier, well, last, what year is it? 2020, last year. He died a little more than a year ago. And he was 95.
Really? And, he was that old?
Oh, yeah. He was 95 years young. 94. He hadn't reached his 95th birthday yet.
I was going to say, he was calling games, I think, up to 92 or so.
Fox, I'm looking for the year he finally... he retired at age 88 in 2016. Remember, he was calling... It's hard to believe, but he was calling the Dodgers games when they were playing in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
He played.
But wait a minute. You said he was 88 in 2016?
Yes.
Then he wouldn't be 95 now.
No, he's passed away. He died at the age of 94 in 2022.
Okay.
2022. Yeah, but well, that would make sense. 6 years from 2016, 88 plus 6 is 94. Yep. So he was.
One other longtime announcer, while we're thinking about it, Johnny Holiday was not here with Maryland the other night. I really wanted to see him. I thought he was
coming because he said he was looking forward to seeing the folks out here. Why did.
I don't know. I kept looking down there and I never saw him. I don't know what might have happened.
Ooh, that's intriguing. I hope he's okay. Johnny Holiday is 85 years young, and he does it for me all the time, God bless him, very graciously. He was one of the top 40 DJs for WABC in New York when they were the behemoth of... There were a couple in the country that were just gigantic. I mean, I realize Wacky was a big deal here, no disrespect, but these things dwarfed it. There was one here. There was the one in Chicago. I can't remember what the call letters
were. WLS, maybe?
That's it, WLS. And it was 50,000 watts, and I mean, it was... And they had... And this was the era of the... I can't even do the impersonation, so, you know, but the stacks of wax, you know, those kinds of talk, that kind of talk, and he does it all. And just I said, come on, John, give me a little WABC, and off the top of his head, he'll do it all the time, and it cracks me up every time. But yeah, it was a big deal. Those guys were celebrities, the AM jocks back then, no question about that. So, all right, so we got to get you out of here. You're doing
free
radio.
Yeah, I'm charging you overtime.
Send it to the boss. NFL, one NFL game. Let's give you one, give me one. I'm going to start right at the top with you. I'm giving you Jets and Vikings. Vikings are 3-point favorites. The Jets have a new and inspired quarterback. Can they beat the Vikings? Can they cover? What do you think about that?
I don't know that I trust the Vikings. But
true. They have not sure you trust the Jets either, though.
Exactly. And they've been mostly pretty good, and they're at home at a field goal. So I'll take Minnesota minus 3.
All right. Minnesota minus 3 for Mr. Rogers. And what are you giving me, my friend?
You are getting the Ravens and the Chiefs and Bengals.
Ooh. What's the spread there? Do we know?
Kansas City minus 2 at Cincinnati.
Kansas City minus 2 at Cincinnati. That doesn't seem like a lot of points for the Chiefs to be giving them. Let's see what the spread says. Wow, how about that? Closer than I think, I guess. According to Sagarin, this game should basically be a pick 'em. Kansas City by a quarter of a point. How about that? And the Kansas City's giving them how many?
2.
Do I dare to send the stare and let them see the bald spot in my hair? Let me see. What do we want to do here? Do I take the Bengals? Nick, what do I do? Should I take the Bengals?
Yeah, why not?
All right. That's Nick's analysis.
That's good analysis for you right there. Yes, sir.
It's as good as any on the show.
Look, if Joe Burrow hasn't been killed yet, but I mean, he's like a cockroach. He gets like sacked 12 times a game. So, yeah, go with the Bengalis.
Cincinnati plus 2. All right, so there's your picks, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see if it holds up on this, not last week of college football, because we have 9 million bowl games to go, but 33-31 right now, 2-game lead for your humble host. We'll see if it holds up in what's good. We didn't agree on very many. We agreed on TCU and we agreed on Clemson. The other ones, there's all possibilities for points to be scored. So, wow. See how that plays out. All right, my friend, I will see you.
You good for Sunday? Do you know yet?
I am. No, yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
I'll be there. So I'll see you then. I don't believe I wouldn't be there if I thought I was contagious. I'm not contagious anymore. I have no fever. So I may sound a little, you know, a little rough around the edges, but we'll get it done. I'll be there. So I'll see you then.
All right.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for being with us for Fast Break Friday. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with more radio here in in Louisville. Seth Greenberg's going to join us to talk some college hoops. That'll be tasty. So stay with us for that here on ESPN 680 1057.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.